All right, good morning, DVC. We are starting a brand new series this morning that is called The Life of Peter. And in this series, our goal is to look at some of these major moments that happen in the life of a man named Peter. And this morning, we're going to look at the moment that Jesus stepped into his personal life, into Peter's life, and gave him a new direction and a new focus. And it might be a little confusing because his name starts off as Simon. Jesus changes it later on, and we'll get to that moment. But this moment where Jesus steps into his life and everything radically changes for Peter, and my prayer, church, would be this, that every single one of us has this same kind of personal encounter with the living Jesus. Our lives are changed because we spend time with him. And I wanted to focus on the life of Peter because Peter is one of the people in the Bible that I feel like I can relate to the most. Like, there are Pharisees in the Bible who I don't really understand what it means to be a Pharisee. There are kings, and I don't really understand what it means to be a king, but Peter is kind of a normal guy. He is impulsive, he's emotional, and there are moments in the life of Peter where he's just like outright reckless. He gets angry and he slices off someone's ear at one point. There's moments where he's really close to Jesus and the very next day he turns his back on him. There's highs and there's lows. His emotion is real. And if you know me at all, you would know that I'm an emotional, sometimes impulsive and reckless person. And I've learned this my whole life. There's sometimes this thing inside of me that wants to act before I think. Does anyone else have that same problem? My son, of course. I remember this, speaking of, when I was in eighth grade, my parents took me and my siblings, my sisters, to the Grand Canyon, and we got to go whitewater rafting down the canyon on the Colorado River. And like halfway through the trip, the boat guide pulls the boat over, and he shows us this rock wall. And I'm from South Georgia. I've never seen a rock wall before in my life, so I'm going to make this more dramatic than it probably really was. It was probably really small. But he was like, hey, at the top of this rock wall, there's a cave with a pond or a lake inside of it. You guys can go swim in this cave lake. And I was like, that's awesome. I can't wait. And he says, but before we do, the guide is going to go up to the top of the rock, and he's going to set up a top line. He's going to run a rope down so we can rock climb up safely, and he's going to keep us all safe. And I'd never seen a rock wall before, but I had watched lots of movies, and I saw that guide climb right up that wall without a rope, and I thought if he could do it, I could do it, and I learned that I can't. I got like halfway up, and in my mind, I was like 1,000 feet off the ground. I'm sure it was nothing, but I got halfway up, and I was just clinging onto the rock, and my legs were shaking. I don't know if you've ever been stuck in a rock wall before, but it's real easy to go up, and it's real hard to come down, and I just had to hang on to that wall until that guy came and rescued me, or I had to be rescued. He had to hold on to me and lower me to the ground, and my parents were like, Brian, what were you thinking? And the answer was, I wasn't, right? I was just doing stuff. And we see moments like that in Peter's life where it just seems that he is being reckless. He's just making a choice without thinking through it. Some of those moments are great, like when he steps out of the boat and walks on the water. We'll talk about that. But this morning, I want to talk about the thing that truly sets Peter apart. Because there is something unique about Peter, and it's not his impulse or that reckless, you know, behavior. It's not his emotions, but there is something that sets him apart. It's made him so powerful for the kingdom of God, how God has changed history through this man and through his faith. And I want to see what it is that changes Peter, that sets him apart from everyone else. So to do that, we're going to look in the book of Luke chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 1. And just remember, if it comes up and it says Simon, we're talking about Peter. Later on, Jesus changes his name. And I'll do my best to say the right name, but I almost always say Peter, but you'll see what's happening. So it starts like this. As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing by this lake, Gennesaret. So Jesus, at this point in his ministry, had done miracles. He'd healed people, he'd spoken to people, people's lives were being changed, and people are flocking to Jesus. Everywhere he went, crowds were following him. Right up before this moment, he keeps trying to pull away, and the crowd keeps coming closer and closer, and they're desperate to hear his words. Like sometimes, church, we take the word of God that we put on the screen, or you have in that Bible in your lap, or that app on your phone, we take it for granted. But at this time, people were desperate to hear what Jesus had to say, hear God's word, and the crowd is coming closer and closer to him, and it's almost like they're backing Jesus up until his heels are in the water of this lake. And as he was there speaking, he saw two boats at the edge of the lake, And the fishermen, they had left them there, and they were washing their nets. There are two boats. Jesus is getting pushed back closer and closer, and he sees that no one's in them because these fishermen have a job to do. And there's a crowd of people gathering around this rabbi, but the fishermen are cleaning their nets. They're doing the hard, dirty work of cleaning up after fishing all night. And so he gets into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, who we know as Peter, and he asked him to put out a little from the land, and then he sat down, and he was teaching the crowds from the boat. So a crowd is pressing in on Jesus. He gets to the edge of the lake. He sees Peter is cleaning his nets, and he sees an empty boat, and he hops into Peter's boat. And maybe the question we should ask is why? Why would Peter let this man he didn't know hop into his boat? Well, the truth is Peter has been introduced to Jesus already before this moment. His brother Andrew came and found Peter and said, Peter, you got to meet this man. He's the one that we think has been promised to us. Peter is married. He has a mother-in-law. His mother-in-law was sick. Jesus came and prayed and healed his mother-in-law. He's been introduced to Jesus. He's got a taste of who Jesus is. And now Jesus is stepping into his life. Hey, Peter, let me get in this boat with you. And Peter, his job, he was a fisherman, right? And we don't know exactly what Peter's fishing boat looked like, but we believe it looked something like this. This is an example of a Galilean fishing boat from the time. And we have a pretty good idea of what it looks like because archaeologists have found on the shores of Galilee a fishing boat from around this same time period. This is all we have left of it now, but it's in museums. And we can have an idea of what the shape of this boat is like. And maybe it looks big in that picture, but it's about 8 to 10 feet long, and it's like maybe 6 to 4 feet wide. Y'all know what a John boat is? I grew up near the coast, and we would fish these little flat, long fishing boats. And these boats that Peter had were similar. Flat bottoms, you can get really close to the shore. It wasn't massive. It wasn't big. It wasn't special. And when Jesus got into that boat, he got into close proximity with Peter. He's sitting in Peter's boat pretty close to him. There's not a lot of space left in that boat. And here's one of the things I love about Peter. I'd say it this way. Peter wasn't a somebody, and Peter wasn't a nobody, but Peter was just like everybody. And here's what I mean about that. Peter wasn't super wealthy. He wasn't super famous. He wasn't super educated. He wasn't the best and the brightest person. He was just a guy who had a job, and his job was to catch fish. He had a family. He had a mother-in-law. He had brothers. He had a life around him. He wasn't a somebody, but he also wasn't a nobody. He owned his own boats. He had partners that he worked with. He's caring for his family. He wasn't super special. He wasn't super low. He was just a normal person like us. Like Peter had a job just like you had a job. When he was younger, Peter had to go to Hebrew school, just like you guys have to go to school when you're younger. Peter was just a normal person with a normal life and a normal job. And then one day, Jesus steps into his boat, gets inside his personal space, and everything is about to change for Peter. And we'll see why. What is it about him that sets him apart? He was introduced to Jesus. He saw some miracles, but now here he is. He's not at a distance. He's not some preacher we ran to go and find. He is in Peter's boat, speaking to the crowds. The people could hear the word of God because they were desperate to hear it. And I want you to remember that everything that happens from this moment on plays out in that little boat, that small fishing boat. Luke chapter 4, or 5, verse 4, says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Master Simon replied to him, we've worked hard all night long and we have caught nothing. But if you say so, then I'll let down the nets. So like I said, I grew up in a coastal town. For a couple summers, I worked as a first mate on a fishing boat for Cap Findig down on St. Simon's Island. And what I learned in that moment is for a fisherman, professional fisherman, there is nothing more frustrating in this world than tourists who don't know how to fish telling you how to fish. Like, if you've ever had that experience when someone walks up to you and is like, have you tried that bait? Have you tried that side? You're like, dude, you don't know what you're talking about. Peter says that him and his partners, they've been out all night. They've been working all night long, and they caught nothing. They're just trying to clean their nets, and now, dadgummit, Jesus is in my boat, and I got to go out so Jesus can talk, and Peter's sitting there waiting, and then Jesus says, hey, why don't you try fishing again? He's like, we did. We did, and nothing worked, but I'm going to listen to you. And this is something that begins to set Peter apart. He chooses to listen to Jesus, even though he doesn't understand why or how it would make a difference. So we read in verse 6, "So when they did this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear. And so they signaled to the partners and all the other boats to come over and to help them. And they came, and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink." Right, Peter had been introduced to Jesus, and now Jesus was in his personal space. He made it inside the boat. And not only was he in his boat, he starts to speak into Peter's life. Like, you think you're a fisherman, let me tell you what you should do. He talks into his job, into his work, into his security, and Peter chooses to listen to him. And when he does, they throw the nets over and they catch more fish than they've ever caught before. The net begins to tear. They start putting in the boat and the boat begins to lower. They have to call someone else over, and the fish are filling up both of those tiny little boats where Jesus and Peter are, maybe some partners in James and John's other boat that's come up, and they're all together in this moment. And it's easy for us to like hear a fishing story and think it's just about fish, but I want you to remember, for Peter, this was his livelihood. This was his job. This was his security. And when he obeyed Jesus in this moment, he gained more wealth than he had ever seen before. He caught more fish. He had more to sell. He had more hope in future. Like, that's the biggest financial windfall Peter had ever seen. And he experienced it by obeying Jesus in that moment. But Peter, because he's been introduced to Jesus and he'd seen his power, and now Peter's in his space and Jesus is speaking into his life, Peter responds in a way that is almost unique to him. They pull in all these fish. It's more money than they had ever seen before. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees. And I don't know if this is true or not, but I think it's interesting that it says he fell at Jesus' knees and not at his feet. And I think it's because there wasn't enough space in the boat for him to fall at his feet. Right? It was a small boat. It was full of fish. And so Peter did the only thing he could think to do in that moment, because now Peter is realizing who this Jesus really is, and he falls down in front of him. He falls down at Jesus' knees, and he says, "Go away from me." Why, Peter? Why would you tell this man who you've seen heal your mother-in-law and you listened to when he gave you this financial windfall, you heard the words that he was preaching, why would you tell him to go away from you? And Peter says, "It's because I'm a sinful man, Lord." Like, Peter's honest. He's not perfect. He's a regular person. He's got sins and struggles and shame and failure in his life, just like you and I. And he has seen enough of Jesus to know that this man is not just a teacher, that he is unique, that he is different, that he is greater than all of those things. And once he realizes this is the Lord, this is the Messiah, Peter's only response, regardless of the situation that he is in, is to fall down at his feet and confess his sins. "I know I'm a sinner. I should not be in your presence." For he and all that were with him, they were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. In the midst of that moment, he falls at Jesus' feet. He says, "I know I'm a sinner. I shouldn't be in your presence." And people are amazed. For Peter, it wasn't the words that were being spoken. It was the fact that Jesus got into his boat and got into his life and told him what to do. And he chose to listen to Jesus. And that's what changes everything for Peter. And then Jesus says to him, on the second half of verse 10, he says, "Peter, don't be afraid," Jesus tells Simon. "From now on, you will be catching people." Older translations will say, "From now on, Peter, you will become a fisher of men." And that's a short little sentence that Jesus says there, but it changes everything for Peter. See, Peter's entire life up to that moment had been about fish and caring for his family and taking care of his boats and cleaning his nets. This is all he's ever known. And Jesus says, "I have something different for you, Peter. You thought your whole life you would be catching fish, but I'm going to use you to draw people into the kingdom of God." Peter wasn't somebody. He didn't dream of having that future. He wasn't a nobody. He just had a normal job. But Jesus says, "I have something for you. All this training, all the skills that you learned working on this lake, I'm going to work through your life experiences to draw people in to the kingdom of God." He changes Peter's entire future for him. And then, this is what happens in verse 11. "Then they brought all the boats to the land, and then they left everything behind, and he followed after Jesus." This is the moment that sets Peter apart. Like, what makes him unique? What makes him so different? What made him have the kind of faith that God could use to change histories and families and churches and the world? What was it about Peter? It was this. Peter was willing to follow Jesus no matter the cost. right? Jesus got into his boat, got into his life, said, Peter, I want you to do something. He had excuses. Why? Why should I do that? But I'm going to listen to you because you're Jesus. And he listened and he experienced God's provision in that moment. And then Jesus says, Peter, I've got a future for you that is different than you expected. I'm going to help you use these gifts to bring people into my kingdom. And then they come to shore. And then all of the wealth, all of the fish, like all the security and all the hope, all of that, that like catch could have provided for him and his family, he leaves all of it behind. Because he found something more valuable than the job, more valuable than the resources that he collected, more valuable than the fish that they caught and the future that could have provided. He found the person of Jesus. He realized who he truly was. Jesus changed his future, gave him a new purpose, a new meaning. And Peter was willing to follow Jesus no matter the cost. He was willing to choose obedience even when it was expensive. And I have to imagine that the other fishermen who are watching this whole scene play out, they must be thinking in that moment, oh, that's reckless Peter. That's just what he does. He's an emotional guy. He makes bad decisions. Because why would a person leave that much wealth behind? Why would a fisherman leave the best catch of his life behind? It almost sank the boats and tore the nets. Why would they leave that behind? They just assume Peter's being the reckless guy that he regularly was or regularly is. But church, this is what Peter knew, and I hope this is true for all of us as well. Peter knew that following Jesus is never reckless. It may look like it from the outside. Like, why would you give up the best job of your life to go and chase after Jesus? Because it's worth it. It may seem reckless at the moment, but if you're truly following God, it will never be reckless. Why would you go and share your faith with your coworkers or your classmates knowing they could like laugh at you or hurt the relationship? Well, if you follow Jesus, I promise you it's never reckless. Even if the whole world around you says that is an unwise thing to do, we choose to follow after Jesus. That's what Peter did. There are moments where he messes up, and we'll look at some of those because he's a real person just like us. There are moments when he thinks God has given up on him because of how bad he's failed. We've been in that place before. But over and over again, we see this pattern in Peter's life. I'm going to leave it all behind, and I'm going to follow after Jesus. And even if the whole world tells me that's reckless, we know it's not true. Because when Peter left the nets behind, he met the man who changed his future, who changed his name, who took him out of the lake and brought him into the kingdom of God. Peter was introduced to Jesus, and then Jesus got into his boat, got into his personal space, spoke into his life, and gave him a new future. And church, this is good news, because Peter wasn't the smartest. He didn't go to seminary. He wasn't the best follower of you know, God at the time. He wasn't a nobody. He wasn't a somebody. He was just like every single one of us. And the God that we worship is still looking for people who are willing to follow him no matter the cost. Like, Jesus is still stepping into all of our lives looking for us to make that same kind of choice. Jesus, I will follow you no matter what. And maybe like Peter, you've been introduced to Jesus. Maybe someone invited you to church and you've heard the name a couple times. Maybe you've been in a church service before and you felt how God can move, just like Peter got an example of the power of Jesus when he healed his mother-in-law. Maybe you've had those moments where it feels like Jesus is getting too personal. He's in your boat. He's in your space. He's too close to you. And you felt that tension before. Jesus is still looking for people who will follow him no matter the cost, even when it's difficult, even when it's expensive, even when it looks reckless to the people who don't know how good our Jesus truly is. And we'll see in Peter's life, the way you find your purpose is by chasing after and pursuing this Jesus. So church, here's what I want us to do this morning. In a few moments, the band's going to come up, and they're going to lead us through one last song. And let me say this. During this last song, please don't leave. I know sometimes we like to run out during the last song. When we're done with the service, Alan Tolliver is going to get up, and he's got an announcement he wants to share with everybody as well. So make sure you stay behind for that. But in this final moment, as we go into this time of worship, followers of Jesus, I want to encourage you to ask God, what is it you are asking me to leave behind? Like, what would it look like in your life if you chose to follow Jesus the way that Peter did? Like, are you willing to follow him no matter the cost? What if God is calling you to take the next step of obedience? For Peter, it started off simple. It was in his job. Just trust me, Jesus, or trust me, Peter, in the way you do your job. Maybe for you, it's time to look at the way you work and ask God to show you, how should I live? How should I be different in the way that I work? Maybe for you, it's time to leave everything behind and pursue him. Maybe that's just as dramatic. Maybe you got to quit the job and chase after something new because he has something better for you. Maybe it's simpler. Next Sunday, we're going to commission one of our mission teams that is heading to Japan. DBC sends missionaries and mission trips all around the world. If you're here, you're a follower of Jesus, and you've never taken a step of faith to see how God can work through you on the mission field, maybe for you, the nets you leave behind is your safety and your security to go to a country you've never been to before and share the gospel with people you can't even truly communicate with. What would it look like for you to leave those nets behind and follow Jesus no matter the cost? Maybe you're here this morning and you've already accepted Jesus as your Savior, but you've never gone forward with your faith through baptism. Maybe that next step of faith for you could be to ask, hey, what do I need to do to be baptized, to make this decision public with all the people in my lives? Followers of Jesus, I want you to ask, what is the net? What is the boat that God is calling you to live behind so you can follow him closer? And let's pray in this song and in this moment. And pray tonight when we go home or around the lunch tables as you discuss what happened at church. Where is Jesus leading you, and how can you just take one step closer to following him the way that Peter did? Jesus is still looking for people who will follow him no matter the cost. What is he leading you to? And also, if you're here this morning and you've never started this relationship with Jesus, like I said, maybe you're like Peter. Maybe you've been introduced to him, but you've never truly met him. Or maybe it feels like Jesus is stepping into your life, like he stepped into Peter's boat, but you haven't had that moment where you surrendered to him. If you want to start this life-changing faith that only Jesus can provide, you receive that gift of forgiveness the same way Peter did. When Peter realized who Jesus was, he fell at his feet and said, I'm a sinner, I can't be in your presence. And Jesus says, no, man, I have something so much better for you. If you're here this morning and you've never had that moment, you've surrendered to Jesus. God, I know I'm a sinner, can you save me? You experience his forgiveness and his grace and his goodness and how he can change your name and change your future and change your life. Maybe today is the day you follow Peter's example. Bow at the feet of Jesus. Confess your sins, you get set freed, and you see how he changes your future. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted that gift of grace, I'd love to talk to you about it. In this response moment, I'm going to stand up front. If you want to come and pray with me, I'll come and pray with you. If you'd rather talk to someone else, there will be prayer counselors in the lobby. They would love to speak with you. If that's too much for you, I'm going to put my phone number on the screen. That's my cell phone number. You can text me, and I'll do my best to respond to you. But I would love to talk to you about what it means to follow Jesus, to be forgiven, to be set free, to have a new future and a new name, just like Peter experienced. So followers of Jesus, what are the boats that God's asking you to leave behind so you can follow him closer? If you're here this morning, you've never accepted that gift of grace, maybe today is the day you finally fall to your knees, follow after Jesus and see how he changes everything. Because the truth is, following Jesus, it is never reckless. And I want to be a church that just chases after him. I'm going to pray for us. You respond how God leads you to respond in this moment. And remember, stay behind so Alan Tolliver can come and speak to all of us. But let's pray, church. So Father God, we are just so grateful for the opportunities that we get to have to gather in places like this. God, I pray we wouldn't lose sight of how valuable your word is. We take it for granted, God, we can read from you at any moment, hear from you at any moment. But there was a time where the crowds were just chasing you down because they were so desperate for your word. God, I pray we would be desperate for your word in the same way. Jesus, thank you for being the God who pursues us, who steps into our boats, into our lives, and our homes, and our jobs, who speaks to each one of us. And Father, I pray that every single one of us has that kind of experience with you like Peter did. We get to see how good you are, how kind you are. We fall down at your feet and ask for forgiveness because we know the sin is in us and that you can save us. And again, God, I pray we would have the kind of faith that would leave it all behind just to follow you. We'd leave the boats, we'd leave the nets, we'd leave everything that we gathered that we thought was so valuable because we know that being near you is so much better. God, I pray for the followers of Jesus in the room. You would begin to convict hearts and say, yes, this is what you need to leave behind so you can know me better. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning who's never experienced your grace and your forgiveness, I pray you begin to break their hearts so where they have to respond the same way that Peter did. I'm a sinner. I cannot be in your presence. And they can experience that forgiveness and that future Jesus that only you can provide. And God, as we worship you in this moment, I pray you would lead people to respond to you, to your words, your message, your character, your truth. And Jesus, we acknowledge that all the things that we do, all the things that we talk about here at GBC, God, none of these things would be possible. None of them would matter if it wasn't for you, Jesus, and the work you did on the cross and the grave that you left behind. So Jesus, it's in your name, in your power that we pray. Amen. Let's stand in worship and you respond how God leads you to respond.